Little Jack phone. Clock. Do we have any alternates this morning present? I don't see any.
Tom will not be in attendance.
Tom Somm will not be in attendance.
I'm not covered yet.
No alternate there. We do have a new face to recognize at the table, our Executive Director, Gary Albrecht. Gary, welcome to your first official board meeting. And there probably are a few faces in the room you don't recognize. You may recognize, but you don't know names, so we might want to just do a quick round of introductions. You know Dave and Regina.
Hi.
Brad Harney.
Yes.
Lonnie Paul Crowley.
John Lundell from Corville.
Jeff Stone.
Very good.
Steve Spell.
James Eichhardt.
Rebecca Ryder, Bigger Women Voters.
And
Tom Jones.
This guy, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know him.
You want to have him go in the back?
We all try, but.
Yes.
Jerry?
Morning, Jerry.
Jerry Brennan.
Yep. Morning.
Morning.
You know me.
And Mike Kelly.
Yes, we did.
The next item on the agenda is to elect a chair and vice chair for the coming year.
Well, as you can see, I'm back. Didn't anticipate that, but normally the vice chair does move up. I would like to relinquish my position though and nominate Pat Harney for chairperson.
Second.
Moved and seconded Pat Harney to become the chair. Any discussion? Are there other nominations that would like to come forward? I'm guessing. Perhaps not. Mm-hmm. And it is, basically, it's the county's turn in the way we've been rotating this.
Correct.
So. And Pat got skipped. He was vice. And
yeah, Pat was the vice chair at one point, and now you're...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
you didn't get to move forward, so...
We
didn't
get to have all the fun.
I want you to have some of the pleasure that I've had over the past year.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
Such a generous
guy. He's a giver.
You and Jeff.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Do we have to do a roll call or just voice vote? Voice vote.
Was the vice chair staying in?
Oh, we didn't do
we're
the vice
chair.
We'll do that.
Let's just do it separately.
Do it separately, okay. All those in favor of Harney as chair, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Congratulations, Pat.
Thanks,
trade me chairs, would you? and we do then also need to elect a vice chair.
John Lundell, I nominate.
Second.
Corville.
Moved and seconded for Corville, and it is...
Is it Corville's turn?
It will be.
Okay.
Even if it's not John. We want you.
That's fine.
Yeah, the rotation had been, was Henry, then Tom, then me, County, Corville back to the beginning. So, moved and seconded for John Lundell. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you both for your past and continuing service. Pardon me?
No.
Pat, you're now the chair.
Well, you want to finish it, huh? First thing is thank you for the last... You're actually the vice chair and chair. There's been a lot of things thrown at you, and you've done an excellent job.
Thank you.
It's been very hard to keep between you and Jeff Stone today.
Jeff and Tom have been the ones that really kept the agency moving, and I certainly appreciate everything you've done, particularly Tom. You stepped right in and created a terrific budget and a wonderful annual report.
Thank you.
It's great having Tom in that position that he can work with Gary and work through this and they.
Absolutely.
And I would like to recognize, you know, Tom went down and did the budget presentation of the board, and that actually went over very well, I thought, and was well received and spot on, and that was very helpful.
It was an excellent presentation.
Yeah. Yeah, your presentation and your calm demeanor have done wonders to smooth the waters.
And I think the idea of presenting what the actual budget is rather than trying to set a levy here has gone a long way.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Okay, next item is action to approve the minutes of December 11th, 7th, 2010 policy board meeting. Is there a motion to approve those minutes? Have we had a chance to review those?
I move to approve.
Wow, that's fun.
I'll second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. At this point, we have any comments from the public?
No, not at this time.
Seeing none, we'll move on to the update from the User Advisory Committee meeting.
Okay, I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. We had a meeting on January 18th, and I will get those minutes out to you. We had a little glitch, and I'm just getting that done. So at least I have that draft of these two before today. But two items came up that I wanted to pass on. We talked about talk groups, and we're getting some requests now for outside agencies to come onto the system. And I think you may have, I don't know if you got some of those on. But anyway, Department of Corrections, Department of Transportation, and we talked with the VA police. And we talked about what talk groups they should have, came to a recommendation of that. And also, we would recommend that when those come up, for those three agencies that the policy board agreed to allowing them on, they're purchasing their own radios, they will be, abided by the user agreements, and certainly we want those in place. But it's our recommendation that with the talk groups that we've set up with Raycom for those specific agencies, that the policy board would allow them to come onto the system when they apply. I think two of them are in process, but they haven't applied. That's one thing. And then the other thing was the law enforcement subcommittee group. Did have a meeting last week, I think it was the 20th, and we talked about more strategic things, how to respond to calls, how we wanted to make sure we had unified dispatch, worked with Nancy and Tom and Gary on trying to do that. Gary has, and he can speak for himself, but he's working very hard on these protocols, and so we're working with he's actually put out a document internally to us, making sure that we're all on the same page, and that's exactly what we need. So we're seeing a lot of progress there, and feeling very good about that process getting where it needs to be. And then the only other thing is that I will mention is that the sheriff brought up a question prior to this meeting about not only ambulance but also volunteer fire having access to call times. And it's our understanding that is being worked out, I think, between Nick and TAC-10. As far as we're concerned, there wasn't going to be any additional cost to that.
Yeah, my question was, I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't an expectation that TAC-10 would have some extra development costs for that they... Because it said, I mean, in the past, the volunteer fire departments, we've always faxed the times to them, and that's been sufficient, and now they want access to it, apparently, and you guys are figuring that out. There's not going to be extra development costs from TAC-10 on that?
Nothing that's going to communicate to me about it.
Okay.
Yeah. We're talking about possibly just doing our own server here. We take their data from it, we just publish it.
Okay.
And provide the access versus the integration piece. So maybe something we'll take care of.
Sounds good.
And that's what we're aiming for.
And Steve, that would solve your problem as well.
Yeah, and I thought it was important to point out because if the minutes, and I think you're reading the minutes from the previous meeting, but if they had implied in any way that there was any cost going to be associated with it, obviously we can't authorize that, and it's our understanding there isn't going to be. So just wanted to make sure that was, I know you're very cost sensitive, and I wanted to make sure we clarified that. Steve, do you have any other comments you want to make?
Nick and TAC-10 are working on it and moving forward.
Steve's the vice chair of the user advisory committee, so he'll be coming here and actually covering this meeting for me in May. But anyway, I think that's the end of our report.
I had one question from Henry just minutes, and just a point of clarification. Is the CAD, the cost of CAD, the license monitor that Andrew talked about for fire, mm-hmm. and is that for all fire departments, or is that IOC specific, or is that
My understanding, that was the firehouse and the alerting and all that stuff for that. That was primarily for them, wasn't it?
It's Iowa City specific at this time. Coralville is possibly looking at firehouse as well. If that takes place and happens, then yes, it would help benefit them as well.
And that CAD license was, we know about how much that was?
$5,000.
Right. And Tom, I read in there that they're taking care of subsequent years, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
Because as I understood it, the only reason we were doing this was it was a piece that they lost when they came out here. So any additional place that didn't have it before, that's not a situation where we would be paying for that, correct?
That is correct. They have agreed.
So it's not an ongoing cost. It's just a one-time cost.
One time to get the integration going since it was a feature they had before they lost moving here. We've enabled that feature again to make it work here, but they've agreed to pick up subsequent years going forward.
It's critical to the accreditation.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Motion to approve resolution 2011-01, appointing Gary Albrecht as executive director and establishing an executive committee. Yes. Do we need to read the resolution? If he's still willing, then we have a motion to approve. Approve this resolution for him.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, likewise. Do we need to include the annual salary in 775?
No, that's written in there.
It's already written. So that's, that by nature.
Hey, that's proof.
Thank you. Now it's all up to
Jones, you're off the hook.
Yep.
Well, for some things.
Thank you.
Now I just get to blame Tom for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did it.
You can take your blood pressure medicine.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to establish the executive committee that does the evaluation. So click on that is the chair, vice chair, and Dave. And how many do we have on that last name?
Three. Same format.
Yeah.
Same format.
We have a motion establishing the committee of the three.
So moved.
Motion by Lyon.
Second.
Second. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, likewise. Motion approved. Next is an act to approve resolution 2011-02, providing merit and cost of living adjustments for IT manager and system network analyst. It is noted in the agenda. They have not received. Particularly, Tom has not received any because he's been filling in as the director, so we need to kind of make that up since he's stepping back into his position. He would drop the cost of living would have been. And I don't really recall what that was. Was that 3%?
We didn't have any real discussion about this that I can recall. I certainly don't have any problem with doing an adjustment, but I wonder if we should have a subcommittee or the executive committee go out and review the compensation that the increases that the other members have given and come back to us with a recommendation. And I'd be willing to make it
retroactive.
Yeah, make it retroactive to today when the rules actually change. But rather than just trying to pull something out of thin air in the meeting today.
Yeah. And I'd like how much of that, Jeff, should be done in executive session versus?
That's the policy board's choice. I mean, ultimately, the executive director has authority over personnel. So, if there was an executive committee that incorporated the executive director, it would be, you wouldn't need to come back for formal action because this is an issue that ultimately the executive director has authority over.
Okay.
I would be really comfortable with a recommendation coming from that body that would be to the full board. I think that would make sense.
So would you use it? Executive committee and the director to make that decision. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm. So, do you want to defer this resolution until next month?
I think
no. I'd move to defer.
Second. Oh, can I second?
I don't think you can.
No, somebody else should second that. I was a
second.
Yep.
David.
Yep.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed, likewise. And we'll defer this until next month. Next is asking to approve resolution 2011-03, approving annual report and annual financial statement. Tom did an excellent job of putting that together.
It's really nice.
Not to mention that one. It's a lot of work.
So is this up on, after we approve it, up on our website?
Yes. It will be after it's approved. The only change that I drew attention to last night that I corrected was some CAD calls for service that were, I missed it. I'd added a field unintentionally that did not need to be added to that final number. So
is that adjusted in this?
It's adjusted in the printout, the new one that you have.
But
yes.
We haven't gotten it online?
No. Okay. I waited until it was published. Some of the highlighted pieces that I guess I could take a minute to just show everyone was the calls. Starting on page 7, in the first, and I did note a couple times throughout the report that this is just 6 months in operation, so, you know, will be anticipated these numbers should double based on a full year of operation. But starting out in 2010 for the first 6 months, page 7 shows our 911 call types, wireline versus wireless comparison. Yeah, the JEC took 76% of the calls came from wireless and 24% of them came from landline, and those numbers are shown below at 14,809 and 4,545. 72 calls came from voice over IP systems. I kind of gave a little synopsis in the report of what types of calls those would be. Those are your customers who are now moving to like the Mediacom phones, Vonage type phones, and such. So we did take 72 of those calls, so it does show that some people in the county are moving toward that type of service and that our system does support that call type. So we did a total of 19,426 911 calls in 6 months.
Tom, do you think that those percentages will have stabilized pretty soon in terms of wireless versus landline?
I think
it'll keep shifting to...
Shift to wireless, yeah. As people are doing away with their landlines, it's shifting that direction.
At some point, there'll be like businesses that maintain landlines will finally stabilize.
Yeah, and a lot of businesses are who, you know, there's a lot of businesses incorporated in that report that dialed 911 as well that are in that landline number. Page 8, the next page, shows call type categories. What I did here was I broke down all the call types that dispatch received. And then it would also calculate in that figure outbound calls that our dispatch center made outbound from here. So 44% of our calls, the biggest chunk there was non-emergency lines. So 51,346 was the routine lines. Those are being forwarded from Iowa City's old non-emergency number, Johnson County's non-emergency number, Coralville Police forwards us calls too from their routine line after their business hours. And so all those numbers are taken into account there, along with our new non-emergency number here at the JEC. Those would be calls, simple reports, just non-emergency type calls. These could be your barking dogs, you know, loud party type calls. Things like that are examples of types of calls that would come in on non-emergency questions for law enforcement. And then I included the emergency number and abandoned calls. I'll kind of explain to that. I had a couple questions on that. For reporting purposes in our phone system here, the abandoned call category are calls in which a caller hung up before a call was answered or while a call was being processed by our system. And then, of course, our dispatch would initiate a call back to that, but our system looks at an abandoned call as one that the caller hung up before it was answered or while it was being processed, and our system couldn't you know, officially categorize it as wireline, wireless, but we did get the information to call it back. That was a different definition than what some people think of abandoned, because I took the definition out of the Viper system, out of the user guide for that, which is what, you know, that's what categorizes the call type and how it calculates this number. So that's the definition that was used. Outbound calls, obviously from the JEC, were 39,700, 34%.
So a percentage of those were in response to the abandoned?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, 1%. Oh, I'm sorry, 3%. Mm-hmm. Alarm line was 1% of our calls. That's dedicated alarm companies. that call in for fire alarms, residential alarms and such that ring into the JECC, come in on a dedicated line. And so that number was accounted for those.
Tom, are those voice over IP, are those traceable?
We'll have to look into that and verify. I'm not for sure.
Does that depend on how Vonage has them set up?
It does. Some of them are ringing in here. Some of them do get transferred to us, like an OnStar type would transfer in. I will have to look at what category those type of calls would come in under.
Some are and some aren't. Because I think the MediaCom ones are. And I'm Vonage, I don't know. You don't think Vonage is?
I don't think so.
Vonage did fluctuate by state, from what I learned from Mr. Albrecht and his state. Vonage did transfer to another call center and had to be forwarded in. So that's why I did put a note in here that when there is a note that when people do read this in residence, it's always good that they verify with their provider when they sign up for voice over IP how their 911 service is handled. I did note that in my definition so that when people do read this, they do make sure that when people do look to make that change, it is very important they question those providers how 911 is handled. So I did reference that. The third page is kind of the third most third point that is a big important point out here is the CAD calls. What I summarized here was when our dispatch receives a call, either on the phone or an officer self-initiated or agency self-initiated call, our dispatcher creates a call for service. That call for service then, in the end, when it's closed out, can turn into a record and turn into things that the outside agencies then manage. But what I wanted to show was the number of calls for service that our dispatchers created in the CAD system for the first 6 months. So these numbers may not reflect identical to what records that a law enforcement agency or the fire EMS may have, but this is that our dispatch did create a call for service for an incident or a call type. Doesn't mean that necessarily someone may have responded or handled, but a call was entered into the system as it was handled by us. So a dispatcher actually, this was work they typed in the system, created the call. It just shows work that they're doing. And so I broke it down by law enforcement and then fire and EMS. And I combined the fire and EMS category since we have a combined fire EMS dispatch now. So for the purposes of this, I just combined the two into one category. And I showed the differences between law enforcement and fire medical. It shows we did a total of 73,195 CAD entries for the first 6 months in operation. And that was in, so that kind of correlates back to the 134,000 total calls that we took, both emergency and non-emergency, that 73,195 CAD entries were made. So it just shows, and again, I these are 6 month numbers, so we anticipate this will double next year, and we should see a lot larger jump next year.
Maybe so. We see such a drop in November, December. Students got
it. I'm hearing it's a typical trend that it kind of starts
very
falling off.
Inside.
Yeah, it's colder and call volume just kind
of. I think it's interesting that fire's only about 10% of the total.
Yeah.
That's.
Kind of checking with our, I followed up with this dispatch supervisor here who has been very familiar with Iowa City, and based on the numbers I had, they were very consistent with what they were typical in running in a month, which was about 500 calls was an average. I mean, it would fluctuate high 400 to upwards to 600. So using that 500 average, without giving exact numbers, but it was 594 some months. It might have been 480 something another month, but the numbers were staying very consistent.
And is that the same sort of overall in the county that we're seeing similar, I mean, we're seeing the kinds of numbers that we would expect from a combined dispatch?
Yep.
I mean, these are comparable?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep, that's kind of what the feedback I was getting was they were very...
And Tom, your busiest call taker was...
Well, we've...
most calls answered.
Oh, most calls answered in the six-month period was 7,779. So one call taker took 7,779 calls in 6 months. So she was very busy. Yeah, I'm in the process of going through that report next to kind of, you know, show in there kind of the times. Of course, your day shift and second shift are taking a lot more calls, but that was a pretty busy person for 6 months. So the remaining report just kind of summarizes the dispatch center. You know, it goes through the call types and the type of work that happens in dispatch, what they process. I included a thing about 911, things that everyone needs to know, as kind of a public reference to throw in our annual report, basically about when they call 911, what to expect, what type of information to give to the dispatcher, and it just talks about, even if they don't know, talk about landmarks. Just, you know, the key was stay calm, never hang up, and just give any information you can to help them send help. So I thought that was a good little page to include when they read. And then I summarized a section on emergency medical dispatch. Since our center here, our dispatchers are all EMD certified, and we provide that service as kind of pre-arrival medical to callers before emergency personnel arrives. So I created kind of a little summary page of what that is and what it's about to let the public know what we do. And then I kind of ended the report with just a very high-level graphic of what the FY11 budget that we currently operated on before any, you know, amendments or anything take place coming forward. I just gave the original FY11 budget just kind of a snapshot to show. And that basically concluded a report. I tried, like I said, keep it simple, but highlight just some of the major points that we do here and get those numbers out.
And you really don't think it's an emergency when somebody's cable TV goes out?
So, unless there's any other questions on that, that's, I think, all I have to add about it.
Took care of your weekend putting that together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You really did a nice job with it.
Okay. And then upon approval, we will send this out to the member entities as we agreed to.
Okay.
That was part of the thing.
Motion to approve. Second.
We have a motion
today.
Did have a second?
Yeah, Regina.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Likewise. Motion is approved.
Did that include the financial statements? Or are we
yes.
The motion. I had a question about the financial.
Oh, okay.
It's a very simple one. I'm just curious. In the letter that came from the auditors, the last sentence says, "We are not independent with respect to the Joint Emergency Communication Services Association of Johnson County." What's that statement mean? We are not independent.
It's in the bottom of their letter, right? The
right,
cover
the last
page.
Sentence of their letter.
They've informed me that standard language. They just insert the business name, their client that they're working with, and but it's a standard sentence. I asked the same thing, and
kind of makes it sound like we have a relationship with them. They're not independent, but they're our auditor or something.
Correct.
They're not our auditor.
Yeah.
Okay. They're our.
This is going to come up next year, and I can just let you know briefly now. And we know this is something that some member entities expect, and so we need to address it. Lada Harris is doing an excellent job doing the accounting services that we've asked them to do, which include payroll and check writing.
Correct.
But because they do payroll and check writing, they can also not be an auditor for the governmental entity. So at some point going forward, we will have to identify a separate accounting firm, which will then be independent in order to have an audit.
An independent audit?
I think that's what the independent language gets to. That's coming down the road, but we don't even have a year of operation, so there's no point in having an audit yet, but we'd have an audit in the second half of this year, auditing FY 2011.
And that's required by law.
Yes.
I don't know that it's...
I think if you ask Lockett, it is.
I was just curious. I mean, so we're going to have to have a second, and I just wanted the cost.
I think we're looking at $3,000 to $6,000.
Yeah.
Full audit would be pretty expensive.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit more for a governmental entity. True.
How often
it's a more complex setup.
Annually. they'd audit us once a year.
Yeah, it's something we probably just remember to build into the budget going forward.
Tom's already recommend. Tom's lock is already recommended using the same one the county uses. Who does that?
Oh,
I get the report over here.
Like
we use a Dubuque.
I think these guys are out of. Yeah, I think these guys are out of Cedar Rapids. Yeah.
There are a number of firms that we can take a look at.
Next item is resolution 2011-4 approving conditional acceptance of P25 system and approving change order 6 as revised. A lot of detail in that report on that. And I guess this may be a good time to do it. I have real questions about this service and maintenance of that 6%. It seems like when you look at that whole picture, if you divide it, extended warranty on anything, you expect and anticipate something to happen. But if we're going to pay, I think it's well over $1 million for these service contracts over those 3 years, would we, is there some way of maybe better utilizing those funds, perhaps put that money away to address issues rather than throw that money out the window on extended warranty and pay that, or are we obligated to do this? It seems to me like, you know, if you buy a car, first 3 years you usually don't have a lot of problems. Maybe that fifth, sixth year you might. But it's
this really isn't on the agenda necessarily for today. This resolution 2011-04 is really for ratification of the conditional acceptance, which occurred on or about January 11th, and also making sure that we kind of wrap up the last contract items. The backbone maintenance is an issue that we've got to address going forward, that we've got this backbone under warranty for 12 or 15 months, and after that, if something goes wrong, we need to have an idea of, you know, how we're going to handle that. I kind of look at that future maintenance expense as sort of a separate issue than just the system acceptance, which...
So I don't want to call it just maintenance portion of acceptance. So.
Yeah, that extended maintenance is something that we have to look at in 2 and 3 and 4 years down the road. And, you know, I think it's a discussion that's certainly worth having. But today, I mean, Harrison got this system. Technically, it is, I mean, this system is in compliance with the contract. The punch list is very minor. And, Mike, what percentage of the total public safety users are on the system now?
Right. I believe 90% of the portables are actually in use. Are installed. All public safety entities should be operating fully on P25 with punch list items as far as not every last vehicle by the end of this month, or by the end of February. But all law enforcement are using, I think, I would say maybe 10-15% are just remaining as far as using.
Yeah, but there's probably on the order of 750 radios or so out there, and another 80 mobile installs, right. Maybe something like that. So
closer to 60.
When the contract basically says when we're at this point in the project, we've got to do what we've got to do, and that's acceptance. And for us to get over 15%, we were supposed to have accepted in part. Harris, because of the unique circumstances, permitted that to go up to close to 25 or 30%. They've been fair to us, and it's time to honor our obligations under the contract and ratify conditional acceptance.
And then deal with the maintenance stuff.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what Pat's saying about maintenance, but I agree. I think it's probably a separate issue for a separate day.
I thought maybe it fell under that maintenance portion of that. That's fine. As long as we have that discussion.
we should have that discussion, and I just think today we've got to move forward with acceptance and honor our obligation.
And Jeff, this is our final change order with Harris, right?
I believe so. I mean, I'd never say no. I mean, if there's going to be anything else, it's going to be a very small drop in the bucket. And I mean, I think this has been run through a couple of times. And as Dave knows and Tom knows, this one is kind of a revision that I brought change order number 6 to the policy board before. It turned out that the quantities of radios that were going to be ordered were a little bit higher. In order to save a little bit of money, Dave went out and really took a fine-tooth comb to the radio numbers. And I don't remember what the total reductions are, but it was, at least 15 or 20.
Yeah, it was a substantial reduction in radios.
But it's using, you know, Jack's got fewer spares now, and making sure that we're owning equipment is going to be out there in use.
Correct.
Well, I'll move approval of the conditional acceptance.
Motion by Bailey, second by...
I'll second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, likewise. Motion approved.
I would like to comment, you know, I think Harris and Raycon have been excellent to work with. You know, this has been a long journey, and you guys have really been good to work with. I was involved in Cedar Rapids' this project many years ago, and it was much more painful.
I'd like to say thank you guys for your patience. We did have some issues, but
we got a lot of kudos in the recent article about Scott County's system as well. Everybody saw that or not?
I didn't see that. Where was it?
It was in the
The Raycom newsletter. Yep, monthly email.
Considered a source there.
Yeah. Next is action approved resolution 2011-5 accepting Joint Commission Communications Center and approving the release of retainage. That's been getting off on that, right?
Yeah, this is probably overdue. We were kind of letting this drag out too long, waiting for the architect to have final approval of lead certification, but the contractor's done everything it's required to do, and it's time to move forward.
Yeah, Merritt Construction and Kurt and Randy have gone over and above doing everything they can, and this really just comes down to lead certification. I think it's completely unfair to Merritt Construction for us to, you know, hang them out any farther just waiting on lead certification. They've given everything to Newman Munson, and it's really between Newman Munson and the lead folks.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Ryan.
How long? Just a point of discussion, how long do we think for LEED? And I agree, we should move ahead, but I'm interested in that LEED certification because it's something where we told people we would have.
We are pursuing it. I think that it's more of a question of silver or gold.
Okay.
That documentation has been submitted. I actually thought we would have heard back by now, but I think we'll hear back in the next two or three months.
Okay, good. Another nice article about that. The center potentially.
Yeah.
Motion by Kravick, second by Wright. Further discussion on that? All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, likewise. Motion approved. Any other business?
We have one thing. Sorry. And Jeff will help kind of allude to this with me. It involves mainly going back to what we discussed earlier before we had kind of a director on board and stuff, some union discussions, and there will be some coming up here in the next week that I'll let Jeff allude to, but it goes back to just, I wanted to make sure and get it out there to solicit if the board did say at that time they were interested in having the chair sit in on those, if that was still the case, if we're still proceeding down that path, but I'll let Jeff kind of just talk about the discussions that will take place next week, and if they're interested, we'll let you know the dates.
Yeah, it is still the intent, I think, of all of us that for the first contract, you know, we would want policy board level improvement involvement.
Absolutely. So Jeff can define what's going to take place. And
yeah, this Jim Peters is sending this, so I'm just repeating what he tells me, and I can't answer any questions beyond that. But even though the deadline for declaring impasse has passed, there still is a duty to bargain in good faith. And so if we can sit down with them and see what they have to say and negotiate in good faith. And that's scheduled to happen in February, and we'll make sure that the chairperson and Tom and Gary are there and Jim's there and see what happens.
We had originally, I think Sam and I had offered up our people to help in negotiations that have worked on contracts and back, but if they're not needed, I'm sure he won't mind not being involved, so withdraw that offer.
We should mention, and I don't know how public it is, but it impacts us, so we should discuss it. Cedar Rapids has chosen to go into preliminary negotiations with Harris and Raycom for a similar system, which will benefit us substantially. Part of that is interconnectivity by high-speed microwave between the two systems, which will make a huge footprint in the corridor area and be mutually serving to both of us. So they've put some good things in place on their end that will be no cost to us, but will directly benefit us. So Charlie called me last Thursday, I guess it was, and told me about that.
Will they be able to utilize like any of our tower sites and something?
Yep,
like
it'll be a mutually beneficial system where we'll roam with them and they'll roam with us, and data will be transferred high speed, and it's exactly what we'd hope for. It's great. Right.
It's going to be a good deal.
I was just going to make a suggestion and see if what folks think. You know, most policy boards and city council agendas that I see has an item, routine item, like director's report. And it just seems like looking at this, there's really no opportunity for Gary or previously Tom to just give us a report of just things that aren't on the agenda that he'd like to report on. So I'd like to suggest we add a director's report item to our agenda.
Good idea.
Add that on the agenda.
One thing I'd like to add to the board's agenda today is a resolution of appreciation for Tom Jones for his service as interim executive director over the past 9 months. Tom really has done a terrific job, a lot of very long days, and I know the board appreciates everything that he's done.
I'd agree.
Do I need to second that or anything?
Why not? Let's get it official.
I'd be glad to second that.
He's put a lot of time in under a lot of tough situations, taking over and putting it together. So.
Yep. Jumped in very quickly.
Yes.
That was.
But it all worked out.
And then do we need to actually make some type of formal motion on the DOT corrections and VAPD? You know, Barry had alluded to that earlier. I mean, we've all been in agreement.
Agenda, right?
Yeah, we'll have that on the agenda in the future.
Put it on February.
Just for people's knowledge, now that I've handed these agreements out and people are looking at them, people are generally pretty happy with the terms. There are probably some minor changes. I defined a term as a non-governmental subscriber. That has really upset University of Iowa hospitals and clinics because they are governmental subscribers, so that'll now be a non-member subscriber. But I can make some minor, you'd be surprised how much.
But when you've got a lot of attorneys on retainer,
you can
get every word.
So, I mean, we're looking at minor, non-substantive changes to these agreements to make sure that they accurately reflect everybody's expectations, and we'll get those on the agenda in the future.
And just a point of clarification on that is that when they come to the User Advisory Committee, you know, initially, to ask to come on and under what conditions. I mean, we process that and then make the recommendation to you, so that's why we're doing a timing, but we assume that the user agreements and things have to be in place before you take action.
Yeah, they have to be signed before we turn them on.
So we're making our recommendation before you have an action item anyway, so that's one of our recommendations.
Does anyone else have anything?
I have one thing. Barry actually forwarded an email about a newsletter, and I don't know if any of you have seen it, but DuPage County, Illinois is in the middle of a radio program over there, and it's just been a huge, expensive debacle because they went out and did this radio system, and it wasn't a competitive bid process.
Sole sourced it.
Yeah, sole source it. And you know, a lot has been made about how expensive this has been for Johns County taxpayers, but I think if you read that article, it really shows how the representatives from Johnson County did due diligence on this, and really, really, I think we should be proud of what we've accomplished. If you guys want to read that,
substantially less money,
let me know. It is, I mean, you read it and you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, I'd like to see that.
I'd love to see it.
$7 million okay. Up over 28, and they don't have a system.
And they still don't have a system they own or will ever own.
Barry, can you just send that?
Yeah, I'll send it to everybody. I just got yesterday. I get a daily subscription to, I don't know if this is governing or if this is birth, but I sent it out to, I typically just forward these to Lonnie and other law enforcement anyway, but this one was particular. Because of from an EMD standpoint, I'd pass it on today, but I think I'll pass it the rest of it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sorry, it's public information, but I'm not trying to trash any other vendors.
Any bat wings or anything.
But nonetheless, it shows how difficult something like this can be and makes us look pretty good.
even locally, if you compare with what Scott County's going through, I think they're way ahead of
Yeah.
These are hard processes, and I think everybody realized it, but. I think we should be proud of what we've gone through and the decisions we've made.
We've got a combined center for under $3 million. Their budget's over $7 and they're not in operation yet. So I think when you look at as close as Scott County, we've done a pretty admirable job, despite what the headlines might indicate.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything? Would like to take a moment and welcome Gary. Appreciate you coming aboard and understand your audience. Middle of everything and starting to learn the tricks of trade through Tom.
Yes.
So, I guess you have any comments you would like to make? You're welcome. If you don't, that's fine too.
How good of a guy I am.
You're still here.
Yeah. I can tell you the first week was quite challenging, especially because of Tom. But now I look at this as a great opportunity, not only for myself, but I believe for Johnson County. I'm prepared to give you 130-140%, and we've already started a couple of projects that needed to be done before I got here, and we've got at least two of them underway right now. Again, I feel very, very confident. And as I said in the letter that I, or the email that I sent out the first week was I was here, I'd just like to thank you all for the opportunity, and you will not be disappointed.
Don't be afraid to ask us if you need anything.
Yes.
Yes.
A place to live.
Before we leave other business, Mike, do you have anything you want to pass along to the policy board at all?
I just said that. Projects of this size that are always, I've not been in project management now for a long time. And every time you have a project of this magnitude, you have bumps. You have technical issues, financial issues, personnel issues, and all that kind of stuff. But I had dinner with Jeff and his lovely wife last night. And I shared with him that I wish I could retire for a lot of reasons. But this is the kind of project that I would like to retire having completed. You know, it's like your swan song. You guys have been great. Tom has been outstanding to work with, Jeff, and of course you guys, and like I said, your patience, because we did have issues. But thank you very much, and it's been great. I really took. Now, we will be down here one more time. We in Harris, we don't believe in just you're in warranty, see you around, have a nice day. We want you to know that we're here to support you guys for the whole duration, as long as you have this our equipment. So a group will be coming down here probably mid-March, and it's from our Customer Resource Center. They'll come down, they'll put on a presentation to Gary and Tom, and Raycom will be there to explain how the warranty process works and the installation process. You know, if you have a problem and Raycom isn't able to fix it, you can call this guy, and if you don't like what he has to say, you go to this guy right up to the vice president. So all that will be in there. So again, I just want to thank you guys very much. Let you know we're here. As long as you want us to be, we'll be here.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep, thank you. Thanks, Mike. And I should also recognize, you know, you guys sent Raleigh, and I forget his last name, and James Acock here, and they've been here day in, day out, from as far back as pouring the footings on the towers. And they were outstanding to work with. And again, you know, I just go back to past history, doing being involved in other projects. It's not always that way, and it's usually not. And they really have been outstanding to work with. And Grady as well.
There's been a few weekends, I know what, December, that James and Raycon spent Saturday and Sundays here in Harris when they flew a guy in for our reliability stuff. So they were 12 hours on Saturday and Sundays. And
I've done some stuff.
Still there Monday through Friday.
You know,
so yeah,
coming out 3 a.m. to do roll.
A lot of 3 a.m. updates during this last 2 months for the finish-up test. So it's been good.
I'd make just one final comment that there have been a couple of times on this project that we've been looking at a very large, significant problem. The tower getting switched, the piece of litigation, there was a regulatory issue. I mean, we have had our share of problems, and every time Harris stood up, was there providing us support, problem solving proactively. And so in the future, if you know somebody on this policy board is contacted by somebody else talking about our experience with Harris, I can talk about it in great detail, but I would have no reservations about recommending them. They've been very fair and stepped up to the plate in some hard circumstances.
I agree.
I know we're not totally completed with the project yet, getting totally up and going, but I huge part of the credit goes to Jeff. He's been real patient. We've done a lot of training and a lot of checks and stuff with it. Done an excellent job. I know he's even made some criticism of what the cost will be. I don't think anybody really realizes the time he had to put in on that, you know, day and night being there.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Yes.
With that, we'll be adjourned.